It is so special that we can come together and let me share my thoughts. And you certainly don't have to agree with me or whatever. But, you know, I've been blessed to answer God's calling to be a pastor. And along with that comes not only relationships and all that, but a requirement, or not maybe a requirement, but a desire to study God's Word and to be able to help other people experience that wonderful thing called grace and salvation and all of that. It's really cool. But also wanted to have the opportunity to share how people can have, as Jesus said, how we can have life and how we can have it more abundantly through the grace of God. And when Jesus said, when I go to heaven, I'm sending one greater than me. I'm sending one who will teach. I'm sending one who will be there with you always and to the end of the age. And that's the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed. Now, in Methodism, there's always been a struggle, lack of a better term, struggle, on the agreement. Now, we all agreed on the Holy Spirit. That was no problem. Jesus said he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and we all agreed. But there was some who agreed on the Holy Spirit, but did not agree in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is the manifestation that is about the gifts and the different things. So, somewhere around the middle of the 18th century, the Methodists decided to go and start their own church called Pentecostal or Assemblies of God or a lot of different names. We are still a believer with the one baptism. But there's other people who didn't necessarily agree with the manifestation. So it was one of those things, like I say all the time, that we can agree to disagree, but we can still love. And that's okay, because God has given us the Holy Spirit to be available to us as a gift. And like any other gift, we can take it and use it, or sometimes we take the gift and we put it up on the shelf and we never use it. So, if you've been following along, this is the last week for the Holy Spirit School. And I termed that the Holy Spirit School because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third part of the Trinity. And in order to understand the Holy Spirit and the personhood of the Holy Spirit, we need to study it a little bit. We need to experience it. And, you know, so I thought, well, this is what we'll do, because I want you and me and all of us within the sound of our voice, and especially the congregation at Bethel, to experience all that God has for us with this wonderful thing of the triune God. And it's so anyhow, that's what we've been doing. And if you've been following along, I hope and pray you learned something, you've been blessed. But now I'm terming it the Holy Spirit School Graduation Day. And really all that means is I'm coming to the conclusion this week of the Holy Spirit School. And whenever we do that, I wanted to, one of the gifts is the people talk about it all the time and they can agree to disagree. Some do, some don't. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit may be defined as the work by the Spirit of God that he places upon us in union with Christ and also in union with other believers. We call it the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. I think most of you know that I've always said that when you accept Jesus in your life, you don't get him in pieces. You get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and more importantly, God the Holy Spirit. So that baptism of the Holy Spirit was predicted by John the Baptist in Mark's Gospel, and by Jesus when he ascended into heaven. And he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. We're looking at that scripture today in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And for the first time, people were permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the church had begun. We technically call it the birthday of the church, and it certainly was. It's a wonderful thing to be able to know that the Spirit of God loved us so much that even when he came in the bodily form of all of us in the flesh, if you would, and experience everything that we experience up to and including death. And he broke that bondage over sin and death. And then he said, I'm going to heaven, but Daddy's going to send one greater than I. That's the Holy Spirit, and he will be the teacher, the paraclete, as one of the Greek words says, the one who comes alongside, the advocate. He had a lot of different names for the Holy Spirit, and they're all just very valuable. But what about this thing praying in tongues, preacher? Well, we're going to look a little bit at that on Sunday, but in Romans 8:26 it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That is so true. A lot of times we don't know what to pray for. So we can either verbalize it in words that we understand, or words that we don't understand. I always think about when a baby is born and it's in mama's hands and arms, and that baby can't talk regular English words, but the mama knows when the baby goes blah, 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 needs a diaper change, needs a bottle. It's really interesting how the mama spirit and the baby spirit connects. And that's the same way it is with the Holy Spirit, in my humble opinion. Because in 8:26 of Romans, it states that the groans of the Spirit cannot be expressed. And that's the very essence of speaking in tongues, or more importantly, uttering words. So in Acts chapter 2, it describes that first occurrence of the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost. The apostles spoke in tongues. They didn't understand, but they spoke, and everybody there understood them. And that was kind of a different thing, because the word translated tongues, both in Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, simply means a language. It's a word from which we get our modern English word glossary. So speaking in tongues was the ability to speak in a language that the speaker does not know, in order to communicate the gospel to someone. It has become what we say, well, speaking in tongues is just it's a sign for an unbeliever. Paul made it abundantly clear, though, that even in the use of tongues, it could be interpreted or translated. Now, he also warned us not to use this kind of stuff in the church, because praying in tongues is different than speaking in tongues. And some understand that praying in tongues is a secret code language that prevents Satan and his demons. And when I get under a lot of stress and struggle, as they talk about there, about when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit will give us the utterance. I do kind of just stop in my tracks. And you can either silently pray. God hears those silent prayers too. But there's something about the spoken word that is so powerful. So when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, we know that God has delivered us from things. We also know that Satan can play tricks on our mind. He cannot read our mind. So when we start babbling out in a language that maybe we don't understand, whoever's around us don't understand. Sometimes when I pray for people and they have a specific prayer request, or if they don't have one, then I always come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them and say, when the Bible says when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit will give us the utterance. And then I pray in a language that I call my prayer language. In Yeshua's name, touch and heal. Well, God knows my heart. He knows the person that we're praying with him for, and he understands what that language means, and it gives us an opportunity to don't let the devil play with our mind. As I said, he can play tricks on your mind. So anyhow, it's not everybody's going to agree with me. Not everybody will want to do it. But at the conclusion of the service this Sunday, we're going to have a service, and we're going to let people understand, try to understand what's available to them. You know, it's like any other gift. You can either accept it or you don't have to accept it. The same with God's gifts. We all have different gifts and graces. Thank God for that. that we're all different. But we can agree to disagree and still love, and also still be blessed assurance, as Fanny Crosby said, of our salvation. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. So you don't have to use these gifts in order to be in heaven. If you accepted Christ into your life, you get him all. You get a reservation in heaven, and so all of that. So why do Christians sometimes just want to have that experience in praying in tongues? Well, I think I understand what the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians. He says that, I, Paul, know the value of tongues and declare that I am glad to speak in tongues more than anybody else. But then he goes on to say, but I would rather speak one word of a language that everybody understands than a whole bunch of words, a language that nobody understands. So in order to communicate the gospel to someone who does not speak that language, Paul made it abundantly clear that even in the use of tongues, it was to be interpreted or translated. And in the time when Paul was here on earth, and when he was out doing the ministry of all the different churches, and especially the one at Corinth, it was a way that they could understand, because they didn't all speak the same language when Paul was out there ministering. So it goes down to this. I hope and pray that you come. If you're coming to church, come with an open mind as we exercise our right to receive all the gifts that God has given to us. And if you don't want to do it, that's okay too. You don't have to. So why is praying in tongues, and how is it different than speaking in tongues? Well, there is a difference. It indicates that praying in tongues is also to be interpreted. Well, as a result, that seems to be praying in tongues is an offering to God. God interprets. We don't have to have somebody here in this world interpret for us. God will interpret it. He'll know the heart of the person that's doing the praying. One of our church members the other day was telling me, and she'd been doing exercising the gifts of the Spirit in a lot of ways, but in her later years, she kind of got dry in different things, and she was out doing something in the yard, and just something just didn't work right, and she just stopped for a moment, and she said, you know, I can get all my frustrations out and just start talking to God. And she started babbling. And she said, oh man, such a peace came over me. And she said, then I realized what being baptized in the Holy Spirit means. It means that we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And we can come to Him just as a little baby does to the mama and babble. Because He'll understand. He knows our heart. And it's not hindered by our flesh body. It's just, we just let it all fly. Oh, shun da 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 basoda. And there's such a peace that comes over that. But if you don't want the gift and you don't want to use it, that's okay too. It's just one of those things that God has given to us to help us in a relationship with Him while we're here on this old world. Thank God that we trade in this earth suit for a heavenly suit eventually. It's tough. But anyhow. And we have a lot of people in our prayer line, and we want to always lift those up and pray a prayer of intercession. Because one thing about talking to God, whether it's using your unknown language or your babbling, one of the things about God, He understands our heart. He knows all of our needs before. So when we come into a prayer of intercession with and for people, we don't need an 800 number. We don't need a priest. It's nice to pray with a brother or a sister, but we have direct access to the Holies of Holies. What a joy. Jesus granted that access, and He proved it when He was on the cross, and He gave up the ghost, and there was a great earthquake, and the veil in the temple rent in two, signifying that no longer do you need a priest. You can come into the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus done for us, something we could not do for ourselves. So prayer is a very important thing. And then he went on and told the disciples, whenever they were wondering about prayer, especially talking to the Father, that if they could do it, and he says, yeah, I want to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. And he said, pray in this fashion. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, God loves you, and I love you, and thank you for being part of the online version of the Bethel United Methodist Church, and thank you for listening to my thoughts, and I always try to, whatever I do and bring a message, I always try to make sure that it's backed up by Scripture, and God wants us to have everything that He has for us, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So hope and pray to see you in person sometime soon. God loves you, and so do I.